you're the cup that won't run. You never run dry, Lord. Oh, this presence, Lord Jesus, it's heaven to us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, your presence is heaven to me. Your presence, Lord. Yes, your presence, it is heaven. Heaven to me. Your presence once again, sing it to him. Jesus, your presence, heaven to me. Oh, let's just worship him this morning. Jesus, your presence, Lord. To be before your face, to experience your amazing grace, Lord. It's heaven. Hallelujah. Doesn't he deserve your praise? Doesn't he deserve your glory? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're so good. Oh, Lord, you're mighty. What an amazing God you are. How we praise you, Lord Jesus. How we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's just go to the throne with prayer, seeking his face. Father, we just love you so much this day, Lord, that we live in. I pray that we'll help every person here to become totally focused on you, Lord, and attracted only to you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would remove every distraction. May we not have ourselves looking left or right, but straight forward. Straight into your word, straight into your promises, straight into the victory, O God. May our focus be upon you, Lord. May you speak into our hearts the very life, the very liberty that we desire to have today. And I pray, Father God, may the word have such an impact this morning that even our atoms will begin to say amen. Even our atoms in our body will begin to shout hallelujah. Even creation will begin to stop groaning and start praising and start glorying. We ask it humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of God? But isn't it more wonderful to be the house of God? Amen. Hallelujah. You're in Christ, but isn't it better that Christ is in you? Amen. There's a big difference, but it's all together the same thing. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. We're going to read those three verses, and then we'll move on to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So Luke 21, 34 through 36. We really had a tremendous time Wednesday night with our precious brother Murphy Wong. Wow, that was really amazing. What a message. Wow, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. Luke 21, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares or the worries of this life. It's amazing how Jesus will compare someone getting drunk to someone worried all the time. Wow, we don't want to be in any one of those categories, right? And he says, if that happens, that day will come upon you unexpectedly. Meaning that if we're watching and we're paying attention, it's not going to be coming on us unexpectedly. Amen? So he goes on and he says, for it'll come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be found, you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How many can say amen to that? And then finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to add in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4, we'll add 9 in there. Amen. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, don't you love that? They shall not escape, but you, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Praise the Lord. We are living in a time, it's very interesting, because we the economy is supposedly, you know, doing very well. The stock market's doing really well. Somebody sent me a picture the other day. He says, check out my stocks. And his little thing was shooting up, and he was making all this money. And another guy chimed in, and he was talking about how he invested something like $5,000 in the company, and now there's over $100,000 in the account. And, you know, that all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? So we're living in a time when things, in a sense, are sort of peace and safety, security, financial, things look good. Even though we can see that the world we're living in, if you've got eyes to see it all, it's all in an upheaval at the same time. It's really strange that people have to be upset about something. When everything's going well, there's got to be something wrong. You know, if you dig long enough, you'll find it, right? You get whatever you expect. Praise the Lord. And so, but that's the world that we're living in. And really, the Bible's telling us we will be in a time like this when there will be sudden destruction. There is going to be a tribulation, period. And how many understands there's going to be a World War III? There will be, and it's mounting up. And the thing of it is our heart should be, I don't want to have any part of that. I don't want to go there. I don't want my loved ones to go there. I don't want anyone to enter into that time period to face the Antichrist and all these other things that are coming on the face of this earth. But, you know, saints, you can't stop it from happening because the Bible is not making it happen. It's simply a mirror that's reflecting past, present, and future. It is a prophecy that's telling us it's coming. And we see all the signs of these things mounting up. So we're living in a time when we're either just going to face it and live with it, or we're going to do what the Bible says, find that way of escape. Amen? Not because we're a bunch of escapism people, but because the Bible says who will be found or counted worthy to escape. How many wants to be that person to be counted worthy? And I want you to be able to do that. So, but here's the fact. There is no escape from the impending tribulation period and World War III without being in the rapture. You have to be in the rapture to escape. There's no other way. You can't just bury yourself. You can't be one of those preppers who takes a big, huge metal container and sticks it, you know, 6 feet under the ground and stacks it full of food. It's never going to work. It's not going to help you. You need something better than that, something bigger than that, something greater than that. And Almighty God has provided it. He has shown by types and examples how that he can pull somebody out of the earth before destruction strikes it. And he's giving us that example because that's what he's offering for all of us. Who here wants to be in a pre-tribulation rapture? Raise your hand. Who here desires? And who here is thankful? Thankful that we are part of a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm excited about that. I'm so excited about that. This is going to be the greatest event that ever strikes this earth that's going to happen right in our day. We get to be a part of it. I am so excited, ecstatic. Amen? Now, there is no rapture without a body change. That's something that we understand now by the scriptures. It was laying there, but a lot of people didn't understand it, didn't pull it out, but it was laying there all along. But how many here can say, thank God, I believe in a supernatural body change, and I believe I'm going to be one who gets to have that supernatural body change? Can you say amen? How many is thankful for that? Right? Now, there's no body change without first seeing the resurrected saints. Now, this is an interesting thing that we didn't think about, but it's right there, right in the Bible, how that when Jesus rose, the saints rose of the Old Testament and showed themselves to many in the city. They didn't change because they didn't have rapturing faith yet. But now that we have rapturing faith, all you need to do is see a loved one and you're out of here. Do you realize how simple this is? Do you realize the simplicity of this? Listen to what the prophet of God says. It says, when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I just think that is so powerful. So powerful. All you got to do, all I got to do is see mom or dad or whoever that is a loved one that shows up, one of the saints, hallelujah, and boom, you are changed. You cannot stay the same when you see them. Because rapturing faith is already rolling around in you because you've received the message of this hour. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The message of the hour has created in you revelation, faith for a body change. It had to have the seals torn off or you couldn't have that level of faith. But now we have it. That's why when we worship the Lord this morning, you just enter in such a different realm because you're in a different realm. You're not even here. You're just here. But we are over there already. Praise the Lord. What an exciting thing. How many is thankful for that? There's no body change without seeing the resurrected saints first. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see them. Amen. And there's no resurrection until Jesus descends with a mighty angel roar, and that'll be followed by seven thunders. How many understands that? That is something that we should be so excited about that God has revealed that to us in our day. We are living in the day of this event taking place. We are living in the moment when this is going to happen. Here's a couple of quotes here that I think will be helpful. He says in one place, go tell my disciples, he says, all of a sudden, when Jesus raised on his resurrection morning, this great fireball come flying down from heaven, stood by the grave, and it turned out to be the mighty angel of God who stood there. Praise the Lord. The mighty angel of God came, stood there, and Jesus Christ was raised. And he says, he broke the seals and opened the grave. There's no Roman seal that can stop you. There's no death seal that can stop you. There's nothing that can keep us from resurrecting if we go by way of the grave. You are coming back again. Nothing can stop us from the resurrection. Praise the Lord. I love that, don't you? In another place he says this, then he takes his kingly position when his saints come to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. How many knows the Bible tells us that the saints will crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings? You and I are going to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we can already start doing that just by raising our hands, our lives, our voices, and praising him and crowning him and letting him be King of Saints and seated upon the throne of our hearts. How many can do that right now? You can start that process already, but there's coming a time when the dead are raised in Christ, they're going to be raised up, we're going to be changed, and man, that's when we're going to truly crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm just so ecstatic about that. What an exciting time. He says, time has run out, Revelation 10:6. There's no more time. Notice how he places that crowning time, that resurrection time, right there squarely on Revelation 10:6. A lot of times Revelation 10 is skewed to be everything that's already happened in the past, when in my understanding, it's something's happened in the past, something's happening right now today, and something's yet coming up in the future. But it's all our day and the promises of God for our day. A lot of times when you're in church and you're hearing a sermon, it's helping you to live today for the Lord in a better way. And that's so important. But one of the things I find so exciting is that when we start thinking about, even though it's more future, the resurrection or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible actually says that by having this hope within us, we purify ourselves. There is something very powerful about thinking, I just want to be ready when he comes. I want to live a good Christian life while I'm here on this earth, but I also want to be ready when he comes. Praise the Lord. And finally, in the Shalom message, he says, when the angel of Revelation in the 10th chapter puts one foot on the land and one on the sea and a rainbow over his head, he swore, time shall be no more. When that time comes, you will rise up from among the dead. And while the rest of them lays there, you're going to go in. Hallelujah. How many's excited about that? How many's thankful for that? Knowing that God has this thing all planned out. There is no need for us to have any person or any religion or any system or anybody else try to get you out of the grave, because nobody can. If anyone was able to ever do it, then that person would never die themselves. They could sit there and get people. Nobody can do it. Jesus was the only one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. He can stand over you and conquer death, hell, and the grave right now in your life. And if you pass away and you physically sleep in Jesus, he'll raise you up again. We got to give him all the glory. Doesn't he deserve it? Hallelujah. So keep that in mind. The mighty angel is simply the angel of the covenant, because he comes with a rainbow over his head. Today we're living in a day when the rainbow has been robbed and hijacked, you know, and now it means something else. But the rainbow hasn't changed. It still was God's way of telling the world, though there is going to be accountability for your actions and judgment, and maybe punishment, yet my grace is still going to show up in the midst of that, because I'm always going to provide you a way that you can receive my grace and not have to stand under my justice. How many wants to stand under God's justice system? Not me, but how many wants to stand under his grace? Amen. And so the covenant is over his head, meaning that he is now executing his promise of a covenant. I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem you to the uttermost. I'm going to raise you up from the dead. I'm going to change your bodies. You are going to be part of a rapture. You're going to be my bride who has prepared herself, and we're going to be married. It's like a divine romance. The whole Bible is set up that way. So that mighty angel is the covenant angel, which is also simply the Spirit of Christ coming with a royal anointing. And the reason I say this is because the Bible says he roars as a lion. And always when you start to see things that are reflecting Christ in a lion-like nature, then what we're looking at is Christ coming as Son of David as a king. How many believes he is a king? But he's also going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he comes in that mode, in that way, because it's time for us to crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we got so much to thank him for. And to me, Christ will be coming to the Jews. How many believes that? But not until first he gets his Gentile bride caught up into his heavenly realm. You remember the type, Joseph's life in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was a type? How that he took and met with his brothers, the Jews. But then what he did is his wife, who was a Gentile, he had her up in the palace, wasn't with her. And so in the same way, Jesus Christ will remove his bride, who will be made up of the nations, Americans, Africa, India, all over the world. All these people are going to be brought together. The Bible says caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What an exciting thing that is. And he does that, and then he presents himself to the Jews. So you see in this coming of this angel of Christ, mighty angel, he's coming in a way that he is showing a lot of the reflections of what the Jewish people will be looking for. For instance, he's clothed in a cloud. They know what a cloud is, the fire. They know what the fire is. The cloud led them by day and the fire by night and protected them. And so they have all those aspects they're going to be picking up on that make sense to the Jews. He is coming to the Jews, but he's coming to get his bride out of the earth. And I'm so excited. How many here can say, Thanksgiving Day for me? I'm glad I'm part of this. Hallelujah. God's love for me. Now, there's a little bit of a writing that was put together by a commentator whose name was Gill. His last name is Gill, and it's Gill's commentations. He's a scholar, and he writes that the Jews have a notion that a trumpet will be blown at the time of the resurrection of the dead, just as it was on Mount Sinai. Remember when the people were meeting Moses at the mountain, and there was this long blasting sound of trumpet? And it was even making them afraid. It was so devastatingly loud, and it wasn't a normal trumpet. It was God making a way to, probably using angels or whatever, but blowing the sounds of a trumpet. But also at the same time, there were thunders and there were lightnings and all these other things happening. So the people were very afraid. And that's what he's referring to. Gil is here. And he says that a trumpet will be blown at the time of the resurrection of the dead, just as it was at Mount Sinai, which will quicken the dead. And that this will be blown by Michael the archangel. Now, he's just referring to some Jewish traditions, which is interesting. It seems very likely to be the same thing with the voice of the archangel. So what Gil is saying is whatever these Jewish guys had, scholars had as the idea of what was happening on Mount Sinai could very well be what the Apostle Paul is referring to, that the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen? And then Gil goes on and says, and what if by all this should be meant that some violent claps of thunder as well, just as Mount Sinai, which will shake the whole earth with almighty power to raise the dead, since such are by the Jews called the voices of the Son of David. And it's a very powerful statement there. The Jews are not thinking when they're talking about the Son of David of Jesus, because they reject Jesus as being the Son of David, but they have a concept that the Messiah will be also the Son of David. Now, we all know who that person is, and it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But I love this thing where they have this idea of the voices of the Son of David and the thunders and these claps of thunders, and it shakes the earth. And the earth, it's like God, what he's doing is his voice is thundering. God's voice thunders. You read that in Psalm 29, and his voice thunders, and it always impacts the earth. And a lot of times, thunder represents God's judgment, but what it more represents is also God's creative power. And there are times when God uses his voice in a creative way to thunder, amen, to bring something to life. In other words, to cause something to escape. When you see Israel standing before Mount Sinai, they have escaped the Egyptians. God did that. They escaped the Red Sea destruction. God did that. They escaped all the disasters that could have happened in Egypt as well as in the wilderness. God did that. And they're standing at the throne of judgment. They're still in the, not the throne of judgment, they're standing at Sinai. They're still in the wilderness. They haven't come into the promised land yet, praise the Lord. But what God is doing is he's thundering into their lives, because what he's trying to do is not get them out of Egypt, but he's trying to get Egypt out of them. You understand what I'm saying? I would that God would thunder to us this morning, not because we need, you know, religion to be released from religion. Maybe some of us do. But what we need is religion. We need to have religion taken out of us. Religion will never save you. Christ will save you. Faith will save you. It's your relationship with God that is created by God that is saving you. And so what the thunder does is it could put fear in you, but more, I think of it this way, it puts fear in the devil. Hallelujah. You better leave this possession alone. These are my people. These are my children. You better back off. That's how God is doing it. When God thunders like that, you think of it this way. He can look right at the fact that death has taken you. Death has put you in the ground. You're laying there. Your body is decomposing. And God can thunder over your body, and death will have to let go. And life will come back. The atoms will change, the molecules will change, the cells will change, you'll have a new body built instantaneously, and up you'll come out of the grave, your spirit will come back into your body, but this time you'll have a body that can never grow old, never get sick, never be without the joy, the peace, the love, and the power of God, hallelujah, all because he thunders over it and wakes you up and brings you out of there. That to me is so exciting. I love that stuff, don't you? He says there really will be a clap of thunder someday, and the dead in Christ will rise. Just many places where you can find the connections between thunder, the voices of God coming, and then our bodies being changed. How many can be thankful for that this morning? How many is excited and thankful? I'm going to have a new body. I've always said this, but I love to say this. It's the best weight loss clinic you're ever going to find. When your body's changed, you're going to be the perfect shape, size, weight, and everything else. Don't worry about your ever having a toothache ever again. Praise the Lord. That might be one of the first things you do when you get a body change. You might spit a bunch of fillings out of your mouth. I don't need those anymore. And don't save the gold ones, because where we're going, the streets are made of gold. So if you bring your gold up to heaven, he's just going to say, oh, you brought some pavement. Thank the Lord for that. We could use it. Hallelujah. We don't need any of that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you excited? How many here just feel so blessed to know we are going to have a body change? Listen, the same God, the same powerful Lord Jesus Christ that changed your soul is going to change your body. He's going to change your life. He's going to transform you. And I believe this, he's already started transforming us this day. By his grace, by the renewing of our minds, we are being transformed from day to day to day by the renewing of our minds. And I'm so excited about that. Amen. Some have said, hey, hasn't all this stuff already happened? Years gone by. But I believe this, that there are certain things that God has accomplished in our day, and we should be praising him for it. How many understands that? I believe we're living in a time when the Bible has become, as it were, a new book, because it has become elevated to the very thing by faith that's going to take us out of here. It's B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Hallelujah. Bible inspiration. Hallelujah. The before leaving. The very Bible has become the very food now that we're eating that's changing us from just a natural person, from just a church-going individual who's trying to survive in this age we live in, to becoming an overcomer in this age. Instead of stuck in a chicken coop, as it were, an eagle maybe put in a chicken coop, we are flying up above the clouds in the skies as an eagle that God has called us and raised us up, renewing our strength that we could be like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many believes the seals, the seven seals that were laying on the book, on the Bible, have been released to us? And you see, that's why when Paul said, right now we're looking into God's word vaguely, but there's a day coming where we're going to look into the word of God and see Jesus face to face. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how those writers, James and John and Peter and Paul or Peter, are writing about the Bible being a mirror. Because you look in a mirror, normally you want to see or expecting to see yourself. How many realizes you don't really see your true self in a mirror? Right? The left is the right is the left. It's a little bit switched around. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, when we look into God's word, you should not necessarily be trying to see yourself. What you want to see is Christ. When you look in God's word, it's the word of God itself has the power to start to change you from being you to being Jesus Christ living in you. Hallelujah. That's why it's saying when we look into this glass or mirror, we will see clearly one day. It'll be face to face. We will be looking into the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a revelation that we have. Amen. Now, after the seals are revealed, we have a fuller, deeper understanding of God's word. It's Christ Jesus who's literally walking off the pages of the Bible and stepping into us. Praise the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Your brother, your sister who's sitting right next to you is a part of the family of God, is a child of God, is a sister or a brother who's also a daughter or a son of God. Christ is actually dwelling not just in your imagination, but in reality. Christ Jesus in his spirit is dwelling in you personally. Praise the Lord. That's what this world is just dying for. That's what people are just looking for. Where is Jesus? Is he way off in heaven somewhere? Is he in some historic book called the Bible that he lived some 2,000 years ago? They don't understand that Jesus Christ is alive today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in his people right now living. You and I, you are proof of the resurrection. You're the proof that Jesus rose again. That's what the world doesn't know. Did Jesus rise? I don't know. According to the books, according to the scholars, it looks like he did. Everything seems to line up, but they're missing the most important proof of it. And that proof is you. You and I, who were once dead in sins and trespasses, he has raised up, quickened, made alive by his life and by his power. Can you say amen? That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Some have said, well, didn't the mighty angel descend in 1963? Didn't all that happen there? This is exactly what we expected. This is exactly how we felt. The people who were part of our assembly who have passed on now, they were around back in the days of the healing revival, back in the days when Pentecost had a second shot, a second wind, as it were, a second breath. But they still went into denominationalism. They still went into their religious system instead of moving in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now you see a lot of independent churches rising up everywhere, but that was something that God was trying to accomplish at the time, and people missed it. But I'm afraid that people have so built a system around something happened in 1963 and only then that they have created a religion around that. Think about it for just a minute. Because when you're constantly looking back, you're not looking at where you're at. Something's percolating right now. God is doing something right now in our day, and people are looking way ahead, looking way back, looking to the side, left or right, and missing what's going on right now. Right now. This is your day. This is your shot. Instead of giving credit all the way back or all the way forward or this way and that way, let's think about what God is doing today. Now listen, this is what he believed was going to happen before the seals were revealed. Watch. And when the seals are broke, the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot on the land and the sea and a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. How many remembers this quote, right? We all know it. He says, just as John was giving his message the same time Messiah come in his days, John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. But after the seals are revealed, watch what he says. He says, I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And now you understand there has to be a time frame between the forerunner in the end or the second coming as opposed to the forerunner of the first coming, right? God will never do anything but first reveals the secrets to his servants, the prophets. Then he does it. So first he lets the people know through a servant, and then he does it. John the Baptist came, he was letting the people know, and Jesus showed up at the same time. Their ministries overlapped because grace was coming. Grace was coming. You don't need any kind of a time gap because there's not a cutoff. Grace was coming. In fact, whatever was cut off was the law. The law, which was the highest level of religious activity you could be a part of to try to be part of God. But thank God we learned that the law was a schoolmaster to teach us that because of our sin, we can't work our way to God. But grace is God worked his way to us. All religions are established on the foundation that you have to work toward God. You have to work toward heaven. You have to work toward peace. But grace is that God says, you can't do it. I give you the best, highest, most established religion, Judaism, to try and work your way, and you all failed. Nobody made it. Hallelujah! Because he's wanting us to learn, because of the weakness of the flesh and our sins, we can't be good enough. But the good himself came to us, became a man, came into the pit with us, took our sins upon himself, paid the penalty for us. Then he releases us and fills us with his Spirit. In other words, God, who was once above the people as a cloud, as a fire, became God with us. Hallelujah, in Jesus. And then on the day of Pentecost, he became God in us. Hallelujah. God coming to us is real salvation. Everything else is just a constant prison house. You can never get to God. God has to get to you. And aren't you glad he did that? So understand this, that he says, I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. Why? Why would there be a gap between a forerunner who is warning the people and waking us up to the fact that we're living in the day of the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? Why would there be a forerunner and then all this time? Because if Jesus had showed up, you wouldn't be saved today. Once he leaves the throne of mercy, it's over. He's dealing with the Jews. He's not dealing with Gentiles anymore. So God has to allow a span of time for us to be delivered, as it were, from religious systems, even Christian religious systems, delivered from all that, and to come in. And some of you weren't even born yet, right, Brother Kurt? Even myself, some of you weren't even around yet. So God is allowing enough time because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if he wants to allow 100 years, so be it. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is we have been sent a warning voice, as it was, like a shout, a commanding voice. Wake up, spiritually wake up. Come out of all those systems and come into Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is Christ himself in a church. Can you say amen? That is the living body, the living bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is soon to be married to him. He will descend one of these days. It's coming up. Amen. And by grace, we will escape all the things on this earth and be caught up into a beautiful wedding and marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about that, aren't you? So he said, I may not do it, but this message will do it. And I believe the message is simply the Bible with the seals taken off and the depth of revelation, that it's the very heart of God that he wants in his people, so that it's no longer you being a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Catholic, but you are being Mrs. Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He can't marry anything less than himself. He wants to marry someone like himself. You don't see Adam trying to marry the monkey. Adam wanted something that was relating to himself. So God gave him a woman. And God is not going to give Jesus Christ anything less than someone like himself. Can you say amen? That same ministry, that same life, that same power is to be among us. I believe every single person here who's got a sickness in your life, a physical ailment, can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Every person here can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. You're the only one causing that to not happen. Don't blame the devil. You have the ability to be available to every blessing that God is trying to pour out upon you. How many here wants to receive it? How many here needs healing? You need healing. Maybe it's emotional healing. Maybe it's mental healing. Maybe it's a family healing, a relationship healing. How many could say, I could sure use that? I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is here this morning, and he'll do that for you. He could explode that thing out. I'm telling you, anybody out there in this world is needing a blessing, is needing help, is needing relief. You've got it in you. You have in you the very power that'll raise you up if you do pass away. It's laying in you. It's laying in you. The very power that's in you right now can heal somebody. You don't have to scream and cry and call out to God and have him come and have angels come. It's already in you. It's laying there just waiting for us to release it and to just get the mental blockade out of the way. Well, I'm not a very good person. Well, I lost my temper last week. Well, I behaved poorly a couple of days ago. Has nothing to do with it. It's because we let those things fester, right? Just a weird word that we don't use anymore, but we let them kind of sit and mull in our minds. And we become what the Bible calls self-condemned. And if a heart condemns itself, you can't get an answer from God. But that same writer that said, if our heart condemns itself, said this, but he doesn't condemn us. And he's the only judge. So why are we sitting here condemning ourselves? Let's face it, saints, Satan's pretty smart. If he can get you tripped up, and then he can put blame on you, and then he can get you to continue to stay under that condemnation, I'm calling it this because that's what it is, self-condemnation. You cannot be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be a witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But how many wants to be his witness? Isn't that his calling? Didn't he say, I want you to be my witness, the witness of my resurrection? If you want to be his witness, you have to take all your thoughts and let them be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think some people need their brains to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because in our minds we have guilt and complexes, and we live in a society that's what I call a pathological society. Our whole world studies sickness. Everybody's becoming a doctor, going to the medical field, or becoming a lawyer because we're studying problems. We study the issues. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. When will we start studying what our strengths are supposed to be instead of our weaknesses? People focus on, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too good looking. And that's a problem for some people. But here's the thing, we need to stop focusing on the negative and start focusing on the positive. Praise the Lord. What did God do? He didn't choose many noble, the Bible says, not many mighty, not many great. He chose the nobodies in the world to become somebody. So it's not your choice. You are not presenting anything to the Lord. You're simply accepting his request. He's saying to you, Brother Mark, or Mark, my son, Lumberg, messed up your name, Berglund. I don't know how I did that. That's reversing somebody's last name. It's pretty powerful stuff there. But he's saying to you, I take you as you are. And all you can do is say, then Lord, take me as I am. But don't expect to stay, right? Don't stay that way. God loves you so much, he'll take you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. So how many here realize that all we need to do is let go and let God? Smith Wigglesworth once said it this way. He said, God is not looking for your abilities. He's looking for your availabilities. How available can you be? You say, well, I need to straighten out my life. I need to fix. You have nothing to do with it. You can't fix your life no more than you could save yourself. He who saved you fixes you. So, but what about this that you're saying, Brother Elijah? What are you saying to us about this whole thing on we can bring this power of Christ to anybody? You have it in you already. Look, let me put it this way. Before the apostles ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they went out healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. How is that possible? Because Jesus said, I give you power to do it. And if Jesus gives you power, then who can take it away? Who can take that away? You name one devil that can take away something Jesus did. No devil can do it. You have power in you to do these things. He gives you authority to do that. Well, then you say, well, then how come it doesn't happen? Because simply you are waiving your right to do it. You have power to waive your right to have power. Think on this for just a minute. You have the power to waive it. And maybe somehow you did, one or two or however many of us have just kind of waived our right. But you know what's so good about our Lord Jesus Christ? He says, I am the Lord who will restore. Hallelujah. So you get to have it back. And I'm asking God this morning, on this sermon, this morning, that you will take it as him saying to you, you've waived it, but I'm giving it back to you. And you're just saying, okay, I receive it. And I'll never let go of that again. How many will do that with me this morning? How many will accept that from him right now? Just say, oh, I take it back, Lord. You gave it back to me. He's handing you, as it were, the book. Will you take it and eat it? It's your commission. It's your calling. It's your witness. Don't lose that. We got one shot at this. This world is wrapping up, but there's going to be a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a mighty work of the people of God around the world. Something very powerful is going to happen. And you don't need to wait for it, because it can already get started now. It may be something you'll do in a little now, but it's coming. There will be a time when it will be in the fullness of its power. But it's still here in its power. Fullness is coming, but it's still here. Praise the Lord.
Now, sometimes, you know, whenever people are needing healing or needing deliverance or needing help or they need something from the Lord, they want to come up, they want someone to lay hands on them. I'm trying to share something with you. I want you to get this. The gospel was first shared with the Jews and then the Gentiles. How many understands that? When it was shared with the Jews, it came in supernatural power. People were healed, delivered, set free. When it came to the Gentiles, it came with supernatural power. People were healed, set free, and delivered. How many can say amen? However, there was a difference in how it was administered. To the Jews, it had to be with contact. It had to be hands-on. You had to lay hands on. That's always been the way for the Jew. But for the Gentiles, think of the Syrophoenician woman, Gentile. Think of the commander, the Roman centurion. In both cases, Jesus simply sent the word. He just spoke the word. It traveled through space, time, and it was just as much impact. Because that's always been God's way. Whenever the Jews received the Holy Spirit, they laid hands on them, prayed over them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Gentiles sat in their pews while the preacher was speaking, Peter was speaking, and the Spirit of God fell on them. No hands, no contact. This has been the biggest deliverance move. You know, the healing revival that happened from 1940s, mid-40s, all the way to the mid-60s was all one thing. Many people missed it. It was all really God trying to shift the Gentiles from a Jewish mindset that you need to have oral robbers lay hands on you, right? That was all fine. There was a time when you would hold someone with the left hand and you could tell what their disease was. And then there was the next move of God during the healing revival where there was enough distance to have contact with the person's spirit, but not their hand, not their body, and tell them what their diseases are and they would be healed and delivered. Can you say amen? That's what Jesus did. It's an example. But then we come into a third phase of that, and this is where a lot of people fell off the bandwagon and totally missed it, but where you don't even need to be in the same room, in the same town, in the same city, in the same country. It doesn't matter where the other person is. If you are praying for somebody and God puts them on your heart, you might not even have met the person in the day of your life. And your prayers will go with power and heal them, deliver them, set them free, and do everything it's supposed to do. Because God's word, when it's sent in spoken word form, cannot return to him void. But it has to fulfill what it's called to do. When, saints, are you just going to start doing it? That's a rebuke from the Lord to me. When are we just going to start doing it? What are we waiting for? Well, I want the Holy Spirit to move me. I want to make sure it's God. No, that was a mistake that a prophet of God made and all the prophets made. Elijah got depressed because of that. He needed God to move him all the time. And God's constantly rebuked his servants. Stop making me move you. Where's your faith? You need to just go. If you make a mistake, I'll help you. But I want to see you just go because you love me and you love being my witness and you want to do things for me. I need to see you just get up and get it done. Jesus gave the Great Commission. What's the attitude of the people? Well, the world's all negative. They're in the world. The world's all into devil things. We want to bury our heads in the sand. That's not what you're called to do. You say, well, what can I do for the Lord? I'm not a very great person. I have issues. So what? He chose you. You don't think that Peter came back after healing sick and casting out devils and told Jesus the report that, and then he sits there and rebukes Jesus and he calls his brother and, you know, this, that, and the other. Can we call fire down from heaven and all those attitudes that they had that Jesus had to correct? You don't think that Peter felt a little bad about it? But he didn't stop. He kept going out and doing it again and again. And his ministry kept growing to the point where Peter would walk down the street and just his shadow would hit people and they would be healed. They laid people in the street who couldn't even walk. And Peter would walk by and just him walking by raised them up. Do you think Peter was making himself into a great man? He didn't care about that. He was humble. This is where the humility's got to come from, the humbleness. It's got to come from you not thinking anymore about how good or how bad you are. You no longer measure it because it has nothing to do with nothing. If God can cause a donkey to speak to a prophet, then he can speak through you. Jesus, even on the cross, it says in his prophetic statement out of the psalm, says, I am less than a worm. Even Jesus is willing to be less than a worm for you and me to save us. Why? Because we were less than worms. Just be willing to say, I'm nothing but a worm. But if God wants to use me, yeah, hallelujah. Who am I to stop him? Let him use you. I'm too young. No, you're not. Jesus was, what, 13, bar mitzvah, and he's sitting there asking questions. The priests were learning things, you know, from this little kid. You're not too young. You're not too old. You are just right the way you are. I want you to be encouraged. We're gonna wrap this up right now, but I want you to be encouraged this morning. Focus on the strength, not on weaknesses. It's not any even about you. It's about Jesus in you. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in me is greater than cancer. You want to put cancer up against he who is in me? I'm not afraid to say it. Just go ahead and try it. God has healed me 4 or 5 times. And he's not just because, oh, he's the pastor, he's spiritual. No, I'm a dummy. But the grace of God has given me the wisdom of God so that the wisdom of God bypasses my dumminess. Just to prove that I'm a dummy. I used a made up a word. It doesn't even exist. But here's the whole point. I hope that you understand this. Focus on who it is that's in you. This shell is going to make all kinds of mistakes. But who is he that's in you? As bad as this shell might get, it proves the resurrection when life in you can bring blessing to others and caring to other people. It proves the resurrection over and over again. Because this thing is just a dead shell. But let's keep putting off the old man and let's put on the new man. Let's let Jesus Christ have full reign in our lives. Would you do that with me? How many would do that with me? How many is listening and expecting? God is sending something so powerful in our day. We are so blessed to be a part of this. Let's just bow our heads. And while our heads are bowed, I want you to just in your heart, just present to the Lord. Lord, I have this weakness, I have this sickness, but I don't want to think about it anymore. So I'm going to just lay it out there and I want you to take care of it. And I know that as I pray, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with that right now in your life. He's going to bring you relief. Because when you enjoy relief, you're going to share that with others. Lord, here we are, here gathered together in your name. We're your family, Lord. You love your people so much that you sacrifice everything so that we could experience everything. You gave up joy. You gave up peace. You gave up love, Lord. You were separated and isolated until you cried out, my Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because we were a forsaken people. You did all that to create the great exchange so that we could have everything you gave up. You purchased it and us. And Lord, by your death and burial and resurrection and ascending on high, you have granted us authority that no matter what we have as a negative in our lives, you have created a positive to overcome it. Greater are you, Lord, in me than he that's in the world. And right now, Lord, for each person here, I pray, Lord, that you would just snip right out of their lives the very weights and the sins and the negativities that just hold us down. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Whatever those thoughts are, Lord, I ask you to snip them away, cut them away. We mortify the deeds of our flesh man, trying to be something when it's nothing. And then we ask, Lord, that you would just cause that resurrection power that Paul cried out and says, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I cause that to rise up in every person right now in the name of Jesus Christ, in the presence of the word. May every single one experience a new revival, a new resurrection of Christ within their innermost being. Grant it now, Lord. Every person, Lord, I pray. Lord, let the Spirit of God come in such a way right now, Lord, that our hearts can repent for thinking all the negative thoughts we've thought, and we've negated, Lord, the very power of your Spirit and the very strength of your commission that you gave us. And now, Father, in the name of the Spirit of the living God, I release these people for the glory of God, that they may serve you in power and honor, and that you may apply again, Lord, in a fresh way, the authority and the right to share this precious gospel. May they be people who are going out being blessers, Lord, finding it like Abraham was, blessing, 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 finding people in need and offering help. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of people. And when we do that, Lord, then many great things are coming our way. We thank you for it. Father, I pray a blessing also upon the other 9-10 churches, Lord, in the area, that you would be with them, our church, sister church in New York City, and the other ones that are here in Connecticut and up in New England areas, Lord. I just pray that the Spirit of God is just striking home right now upon that bride, because we are all one in Christ, and we're going to be gathered together one of these days to meet you in the air. We're so excited about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our Lord, our Savior. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for being all that we need is you, Lord. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, before we sing, anyone here feel like something different's happening in your life right now? Just raise your hand. Just give a testimony, brother. Thank you. Anybody here feel like something's going on? Who here just says, I need more of this? Raise your hand if you just say, I need more of moving, shifting from one mindset to the right mindset, so God can work through me. Lord, grant it now in the name of Jesus Christ. You just heard, Lord, your people ask you. You do it, Lord. It's in your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. What a gracious Father we have. Amen. What song do we have? I sought the Lord. He's so good, isn't he? He answered me and delivered me. Amen. From everything. Isn't he good? Yes. I'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and he saved me from all my enemies. The Son of God, where is he? He surrounds his saints. He delivers them. He delivers them. Yes, sing to him, yes, glorify his name together, glorify the Lord with me, come exalt his name forever. That the Lord is good, blessed is he. How many's hiding in him? Hallelujah! Hide in Jesus. Oh, fear the Lord, all ye saints. Yes, amen. He'll give everything. He gives you everything. Sing it now. Magnify the Lord with me. Glorify his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Exalt his name. Let's sing that one more time. Let's all stand as we sing it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
just come exalt his name forever. Glorify the mighty Lord with me. Come exalt his name. Amen. Without the music, let's sing the verse. Sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from every fear. Yes, well, those who look, the end, they'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. Let's play our instruments now. Well, this poor man cried. Well, and the Lord heard me, and he saved me from all my enemies. Hallelujah! That's what he's doing now. The end of God. He surrounds his saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. Come exalt the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Magnify, magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Together magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Lord Jesus, we glorify your name. We praise your name. We bless it, Lord, above all things. It is hallowed above all things. You are God. There is none like you. Oh, yes. Bless the Lord, bless day and night, never-ending praise. May our incense rise. Oh, bless the Lord for this day and night. Let our never-ending praise, let incense rise. We will bless the Lord every day and night. Never-ending praise, let our incense rise. Magnify the Lord. Precious Jesus, we give you glory, O God. Glory to God. Come exalt his name forever. Together in his heavenly graces in Jesus Christ. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come exalt his name forever. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Now I want you to greet each other, shake each other's hand, and know that you are shaking the hand of a child of God, and Jesus Christ is living in that person. God bless you. Amen. If we help these things. Oh, isn't he wonderful? He gives you everything. Magnify the Lord with me.
again. Hallelujah, yes. With me. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we have a brother Roberts who's going to be coming to share his testimony. He passed away and was dead, announced dead by the doctors. He was dead for quite a while. And Almighty God, Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead. So he's going to be here Wednesday night. You want any more of a testimony of the resurrection power of our Lord? Come Wednesday night. I want you to hear this guy's testimony. God be with you till we meet again. Amen. God bless you. May the Lord push that snowstorm back. Push the snowstorm back, right? Yeah, that's all right. A little rain will work.